Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network. Well,
I'm sorry, I was late, Bob and Ray.
This reminds us of another reason, I guess, why your career came to an abrupt end. Kent, this is Kent Beardsley, friends, the famous... Kent Beardsley, the famous old-time radio announcer.
Hi, Kent. Hi,
Kent, didn't you miss some important program or something like that?
Well, I missed one of the first big network shows that I had the chance to...
It was a presidential inauguration, wasn't it?
Yes.
And then didn't you use the wrong name for the president? I mean, you were all confused. And
I used his first initial. I couldn't remember.
His first name. I remember. And you were late starting and all.
Well, I believe it was when Mr. Hoover was inaugurated.
Yes.
And I believe I introduced him as Mr. H. Hoover.
Couldn't remember. His name was Herbert.
Well, I didn't have all of my fact sheets there, and I arrived late at the White House.
You were selling balloons probably all night, weren't you?
No, I started selling balloons the next night.
Oh, that's all. Well, sorry you're late.
Incidentally, I know it will be...
This is our vacuum cleaner man.
What, does he come in during the program?
It seems like it. Well, not often, but he's been in several times while we were on the air. Yeah.
Does a good job, though, don't you think? Yes, he does.
Hey, what's that?
Yeah. Well, okay, sir. Will you hurry along out the vacuum, please? Good.
I was going to say... ask a favor of you, rather. Would you mind if I didn't arrive here tomorrow, if I took off for home tonight? Someone was driving to the coast and I'd have a chance for a free ride.
Yeah. You're going back to Hawaii, Kent?
I'm going back to Maui as soon as I can get to...
the coast. Well, okay then, Kent. Will you have time to stay around and sign the show off?
Yes, I can stay around. Now, they're leaving about 11:30.
Yeah.
And it is a chance to get out there with very little experience.
Hey, was that the same shirt you had on when you first came here a week ago?
I don't remember what I was wearing. It could be, yes.
Yeah, do you need some...
Ray, no, you're going to embarrass him. This is something to take up after the interview.
Okay, yeah, sit there, Ken. We'll talk to you right after we walk the air.
We would like to talk now to our friends, the McBeebe twins, and their family singers, who were such a hit a few weeks back. Claude and Clyde, would you come over here and tell us how things have been going for you? You just arrived a little while ago. I saw you come in.
Well, that's right. We've been playing all around the East and Midwest at the high school auditoriums.
I want to thank you, Bob and Ray, for letting kids, the McBeebe family singers, first appear on your show, and by that, pave the way for a very interesting and hopefully fruitful career.
Well, we always like to help you whenever you're in town, and I will say we had quite a batch of very good mail concerning the family singers whom you introduced last time.
You fellas certainly have a wonderful sense of humor, because you told me how badly we sounded after we left the studio and commented on the banana cake that she made.
Well, of course, we were only fooling, as I'm sure she was able to read into it.
The big reason we're here in New York is that we heard that there is some plans about to do a musical production on Broadway based on the story of our family singers.
Well, that has been done, you know, with the Trapp family. They've made Sound of Music, which is a real big hit and a wonderful show, and I don't know whether anybody else wants to tackle a family singer group or not.
So we'd like to have you listen to our family singers and any producers who think there may be a journey here for a Broadway show. I'd like them to listen to the Baby Family Singers and the Tennessee Waltz.
Go ahead, kid.
I was waltzing.
Not yet, Ellen.
I was waltzing.
audience, let's be a little gracious to them. They were trying.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm awfully sorry that one man down front.
Or two men, it was. Didn't enjoy the family singers. Gentlemen, if you care to give us your name, maybe we can meet you at the show and punch you in the nose.
Well, I don't think we'll get into any...
Hammerstein!
Don't get into any fights now.
Well, not please, sir. Would you like some banana cake?
I don't think we need any more of it, do we, Ray?
No, I think he meant for... Rogers out there.
Oh, yeah.
And his good friend Hammerstein.
Well, you can palm off the banana cake to them if you can.
Okay. Well, thanks again very much, Father Ray.
Good luck to you and to ourselves.
Come on, kids. Bye, BBs and your family singers.
Close the door, thank you.
Now, don't take any of that banana cake.
Please, Rogers and Hammerstein, don't touch it. Really, it's awful. We had some the last time. Weren't they terrible, though?
Mm-hmm. That, along with their singing.
And if Mrs. McBeebe's listening, hi, Moms.
Only kidding.
At all. Now, then.
Here now with us for chat is our good friend Ward Stuffer, our roving literary critic of the air, and he's here to discuss a book of military significance, I understand. Ward, you look a little peaked.
Well, during the past week, I've read 50 or 60 books that I couldn't put down till I'd finished them, and a thing like that can keep you awake.
Sure. Well, a book you're prepared to discuss today
is... Yes, The War Memoirs of a Private, Barracks and Brickbats, written by ex-PFC Franklin Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
I found it a very revealing book.
I did, too, as a matter of fact. After reading it, I wondered how we managed to win the war. Is the material about Sergeant Elmont Furs really true, Ward?
Well, I checked out some of it. And the story about Staff Sergeant Furs is true.
Well, that's a fact, then, that Sergeant Furs was drinking malteds at the PX when he should have...
That's right, when he should have been supervising the scrubbing down of a barracks floor.
Well, that's certainly shocking.
Well, I talked to a lot of men who'd been stationed with Sergeant Furs at Fort Whalen in Georgia, and they all thought he was highly overrated as a military figure.
And about Sergeant Furs playing poker on April 12th, 1943, is that true,
too? That's right, he was playing poker with some other military figures... about an hour before his men were due out on the parade ground for their calisthenics.
And that was one of the war's biggest military fiascos, wasn't it, Ward?
Yes, instead of playing poker, Sergeant Furs should have been telling his men where the parade ground was and how to get there.
And because he neglected to do so, many of his men never reached the parade ground.
That's correct. And those men who did manage to locate the parade ground, well, they were totally unprepared. Many of them didn't even know what exercise was.
Ward, when you read the book... wasn't it surprising to you that a man like Furs was able to achieve the high military rank of sergeant?
Well, Private Hardy discusses that point in Chapter 6 of his book, Bob. Mm-hmm. Despite Sergeant Furs' shortcomings as a military leader, he was a first-rate opportunist.
He was promoted to sergeant during his first week in the Army, wasn't he?
Yes. On the second day in the Army, Furs went over the hill, and when he was brought back, he discovered that his fellow soldiers had developed tremendous respect and admiration for him.
Leadership qualities.
That's right, and his commanding officer promoted him to sergeant the very next day.
Well, Ward Stuffer, after reading the book, do you feel the war might have been shortened if someone other than Sergeant Furs had been running things?
Well, now, I'm not here to... I mean, I'm a book reviewer. I'm not a military man, and I think it would be possible for me to...
Well, General Brookside read the book, and he said that if Sergeant Furs had been relieved of his command...
Yeah.
...the war might possibly have been shortened by 15 or 20 minutes.
Well, as an Allied commander, General Brookside made mistakes himself. I don't think any of us will ever forget the day he dropped 3 divisions of paratroops on London.
Well, only time and history will tell. Thank you for being with us, Ward Stuffer, roving critic of the air. Right you are, Kay.
Hello.
Hi, Mary. Mary
I'm
McGoon, friend.
Heading home after tomorrow's program up to Putney, Vermont for the weekend.
It's been quite a while since you've paid a visit to the folks back home.
Going to start up a little sociable... a crowd up there.
Good, well...
sociable.
You going skiing or anything over the weekend?
No. Mostly, just trying to be sociable.
Well...
the house all lit up on the corner.
Well, you know how to do it.
Yes, I know.
I know where Kent... Yeah. I'd like to say goodbye, I think you would too, to Kent Lyle Bird.
Well, I wake him up. Kent?
Lee. Yeah.
Buddy? Yeah. You must be tired, huh? Well, Kent, we want to thank you. It's been a wonderful week. We hope you get your ride.
I've certainly enjoyed the opportunity of speaking to millions of people again, and, I hope I will be seeing you soon.
Good. Shake hands, Kent. Okay,
thank you.
Our famous sign-off in just 10 seconds. Nice. tomorrow. This is Ray Gould reminding you to get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.